G'day and welcome to the FIFO podcast. I'm Paul Smith, the founder of Freedom in Finding Ourselves, and this podcast is all about FIFO, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The aim is to share a message with you from men and women that have struggled and overcome their own FIFO battles. I hope through this you can realise you're not alone and you can learn from others how they went on to turning their life around and leaving the industry, and also those that have implemented some key structures and strategies to make sure the FIFO lifestyle works for them. Welcome to episode 7 of the podcast, and today we've got Johnny Marr all the way from the UK. He's a long-standing construction professional with many, many years of experience in the oil and gas industry. Through this, that took him all around the world, and the experience of dealing with people in high-level situations and highly stressful situations got him thinking about how so many people challenge their own belief systems. In 2016, he opened up Inner Focus Hypnosis, a place where he can help people through those limiting beliefs to overcome and deal with the very challenges that the everyday stresses of life create. I know you'll get a lot of value from this episode, so let's go ahead and get on the inside. Well, welcome to the podcast tonight, guys, and I've got a really special guest all the way from the UK tonight, Johnny Marr. And Johnny is, you know, a really interesting background, a former oil and gas professional working in that operations management level and in the consultancy roles for many, many companies and all around the world. And in 2016, after realizing many things and many lessons throughout his own journey, created his own company, Inner Focus Hypnosis, in 2016. And now he's helping people deal with the stresses of life and that everyday life. So, Johnny, welcome to the podcast, mate. It's a real pleasure to have you, and you know, to the chats that we've had leading up into this is really insightful. So welcome.
Thanks for that, Paul. And yeah, I've been following your journey on LinkedIn initially, and yeah, it's from our backgrounds, it's that FIFO journey and what I've learned both myself working away from home and then eventually having crews all around the world. It's really an unnatural existence for anybody. And it struck a chord with me watching you from your experience trying to give back and help people. And that's why I reached out to do this podcast with you. So yeah, thanks again.
No, absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you on. And just, I mean, you've got such a vast variety of experience and all around the world in so many different countries. Let us know a little bit about, you know, the former life, if you like, so people can understand a little bit of where you're coming from to understand how and why you're doing what you do now.
Yeah, sure. It was an interesting journey, and it started with a basic engineering apprenticeship in Ireland back in the 80s. Always wanted the sunshine, so I couldn't wait to finish it and get away and get to Australia. But life's not that simple. So I ended up in London for a couple of years. And then my first taste of contracting was because of the tax system in Holland. I'd done a couple of 6-month contracts in Holland. And that was the first taste of working away from family and looking at four walls, like we got to learn afterwards in FIFA. And it was even then that I realized something that you are constantly pointing out is you don't ever work away like that without a purpose. And so both times I worked in Holland, I had a purpose, as in to go home and be able to set up a home, etc., without getting into debt. So it was very easy to follow. And from there, I worked in oil and gas, managing oil and gas pipelines in North Africa and Russia, from based in France. And yeah, 10, 12 years went by and I landed in Australia in 99. And from there, I've done everything from started in Melbourne with automotive and aerospace. And then went from there to the Gold Coast, ended up in heavy engineering. And then marinas. So I built marinas all over Middle East and Southeast Asia. And then a few heavy engineering contracts in Queensland with the mining boom. And what I really learned through all of that was for myself, firstly. So I spent 2 6-month contracts in Holland without speaking a word of Dutch, and almost 10 years in France where I could say bonjour when I arrived there, and came out the other end. So I started with an apprenticeship, came out the other end as an industrial engineer. And that taught me a lot about mindset and self-belief. And I was very ambitious. So I ended up, by the time I got to Australia and definitely the Gold Coast, so without really formal management qualifications, I ended up in operations management and general management. The recession happened 2008, 2009. And from there, went from obviously a big corporate salary to, okay, what now? So I'd done business broking because I had a real estate license. And from there, I ended up counseling and mentoring the business owner so much that that became an offshoot. So I ended up being a business consultant, management consultant, if you like, and then started doing contracts, basically turning businesses around. But what I learned about, even though I had an industrial engineering background, so it was about productivity and streamlining, what actually happened was I realized the strength of the human element. If you don't get that buy-in, you know, you can sit there all you want with a stopwatch and tell people to work harder, but that's 1960s, you know, so the human participation and the buy-in to me was massive. And I realized, and I think that was a real plus for me coming from a working class background, because I could walk the walk, you know, put on the steel toe cap boots and walk around the site and talk to people at their level and get buy-in and basically ask them, okay, if this was your fabrication shop, what would you do differently? And they would come up with you know, very simple, basic answers that just totally made sense, but they felt like nobody was listening to them in management. And so, yeah, I got quite successful at going in and turning some companies around that, you know, these corporate suits, if you like, just pulling their hair out, but they just weren't listening to the people. So that that evolved into, as you said, 2016. I thought, I'm reading all these books about the brain and everything, and I've done a lot of personal development myself on how I got to where I was in my head. You know, so obviously in the background, it wasn't all rosy. It was working away from home, the usual stresses of marriage breakdown, etc. And so I really started working on myself. And then I thought, no, I need to do this. This is a passion of mine. And yes, I'd done a diploma in hypnotherapy and psychotherapy at the time. And just went for it, just started helping people. Carried on studying and realized that no matter what people came to me for, so I'd get the phone call and what I call the problem matrix or the presenting problem would be, I eat too much chocolate. I need to lose weight. I'm biting my nails, you know, and they were all, they're not the real problem. They're the symptom of whatever's going on. And later on, I ended up dealing a lot with people. So I realized it's nearly all anxiety, stress. But then I started digging deeper and I came across what's called the human givens approach. And it resonated so much with what I was doing without realizing what I was doing. I'll give you an example. So my last contract was in Gladstone and I needed to turn around a large heavy engineering firm that was a supplier to Rio. And the corporate headquarters idea was, oh, they're all useless up there. Just go up, sack them all, hire professionals. And I went in and these people were superly high qualified locals, but they had no direction. And so I laid it out on the whiteboard exactly what our goal was going to be, but then asked them how they were going to achieve it. In each section, I just asked their advice. They all knew what to do, but nobody was listening. And that validated again my idea about people need to feel appreciated. They need status, they need a purpose in life. And anyway, I fell across this human givens approach, which is exactly that, which is we all have basic human emotional needs. And almost without exception, when we don't get them met, we fall into anxiety, stress, depression, suicide, and addiction. And it's basically, and then that's when I seen the connection between what so many people working away from home, especially FIFA. And you sit back and you look at it and you think, okay, intimacy. You certainly don't have intimacy, do you?
No.
Appreciation, often not. You're just a number. We have a need to give and receive attention. Well, you're not getting that apart from on your Zoom call for half an hour in the evening. Security, volition, are you in control of your life? Not really. Are you a part of a community? Not really. And so you sit and look at all of these things and it's like, no wonder people are miserable. No wonder, you know, it's an existence. It's not living. And so anyway, from my experience, I ended up realizing that was the cause of nearly everything that people came to me with. And so these days I'm focused totally around, okay, what are the needs that are missing and how do you get them met? Which is the other side of the coin. We all have resources. We all have innate resources to get them met naturally.
Absolutely. And it's interesting. I mean, it's an amazing journey to from where you've come from to where you are now and for what you're doing for people. And it's, for you, it seems such a natural progression, yet behind the scenes, obviously, there's so much work you were putting into either finding an exit strategy to try and create something outside of that lifestyle, but also while still so heavily attached to that lifestyle to be able to help the people in there. And either way, you're still helping the industry in a way that, or still helping people, whether it's this industry or others, in a way that, you know, you touch on that human side of it, which seems to be so lacking now. So was it a natural progression for you to do that? And how did you find the time to study those things while still working in such a role that you were in?
Yeah, it was natural in the sense that there's a lot of pain and grief obviously involved as well. So they were high stress positions. Which I thought I thrived on, but when I started doing my personal development and trying to find out what was driving me, long story short, I don't know if you're probably aware of this, but like we live either in a mindset of abundance or lack. And I was brought up as a child in an environment of lack. You can't have this, we can't afford that, etc. And I found that gave me this burning ambition to prove the naysayers wrong, if you like. It was like, I'm going to go out into the world and I'm going to show you. Healthy to a point, but it was unhealthy because nothing was going to stop me. You know, so I learned a lot about myself there. So yes, it was natural, but it was because of my own demons, if you like.
There's a lot of sacrifice behind the scenes too that goes into having that thought mentality of this is what I'm going to prove to people, as opposed to the sacrifice of, well, this comes before. That almost sounds like that was the number one priority, even though there's still a family element behind the scenes that,
yeah.
Did they take second seat to that?
Looking back, I would say yes. But I think all of us are well-intentioned. When we go away, it's for the family, or we believe it is at the beginning anyway, and then we get lost. But there was always, for example, that recession in 2008, I had somehow managed to do a real estate license at nighttime before that happened. So I was already planning my exit, as you were saying. You know, it was unhealthy working 16, 17 hour days. Like coming home, seeing the kids and then jumping on the laptop and carrying on working, you know, it's not really healthy. It was natural. Some by definitely at the beginning, it was the drive and the ambition to be better and to get to the top of the mountain. But unless you know why you want to get there, I sort of got there and it was like, okay, is this it? I don't actually enjoy this, anything about corporate world to start with. And the only times I thrived was when I was actually a consultant, where, you know, you've probably felt it yourself as an employee. It's as soon as you sign that contract, they own you. Whereas as a consultant, I was laying down my conditions for accepting a contract and what the criteria was. So I was always in control, which meant I was allowed to go in, and I'm not saying they enjoyed it, but my conditions were that back off, what you're doing is not working. So I'm going to go in, but I am going to do things differently. Otherwise it's, you know, definition of insanity, as they say. So I went in and I focused, and funny enough, I didn't understand what I was doing at the time was actually an approach. I just done it because I'd been on the shop floor and I didn't like how I'd been treated. And so I worked with the workers with empathy and, you know, listening and understanding. And then when I realized, when I started reading up on it and realized this is actual, you know, a scientific approach to emotional intelligence, it opened my eyes.
It's an interesting concept you talk about, but it's the word that jumped out to me was that control or lack of control. And what I recognized in myself, I recognize in so many others as well, that we're in an environment where we are so controlled,
yeah,
that we lose control of ourselves. We lose control of what we know to be the reason for being there, which is that family element. Of course, we all want to go there and we want to succeed. We want that extra money to get ahead in life, but we lose control of the reasonings behind it because we're so dictated to and controlled every single day in how we need to approach things.
Yeah, it's from the minute you walk into, I remember the first time I walked into Brisbane Airport to fly out, and I got there at 5 a.m. on a Monday morning. And I thought they were doing like a massive upgrade to the airport because there was about 10,000 high-vis shirts walking around. I'm like, oh, crap, this is just everybody going to work. You're controlled from then. You're in the queues getting on the plane. You're in the queues getting on the shuttle bus. You're in the queues at work for the canteen. You just stop thinking for yourself.
You do, and it becomes so regimented that you don't have to think because there comes that robotic element to it. And it is so regimented these days with how everything is scripted. So you perform, so you get the outcome. Yet what I recognize in myself is that we're providing the assurity to achieve schedule and outcome from a project-based level. Yet we're not ensuring that we achieve that from a human or from a family point level. We give that away for the greater good, so to speak.
And that's where the big employers don't understand. And I proved it on those last few contracts. It's the human element. When people are engaged and they have buy-in, they can get so much more than somebody streamlining with a stopwatch how many widgets you can make, because they don't take into account the absences and the turnover of highly qualified staff. You know, it's crazy.
It is, and it happens day in, day out, and everyone that's listening would have seen or been a part of that in some way, shape or form. And for those people that do that, I ask them to take a step back in their quiet time and to have it actually just recognize where you are at this point in your own journey. And is it serving you, or do you have to reassess what you're doing? Because if you're not doing it well, then you need to have that conversation with yourself and at home as how can we do this better? Because we've got off track and we're not getting closer to what we're set out to achieve. If you don't reassess from time to time, and I say to people every roster, reassess, it's so easy to just become that robotic, that on that treadmill, on that roller coaster of we just swing by swing goes by and another year's gone by and you don't even remember where the year's gone.
Absolutely. I read the other day, and it's simple maths, but it really hit me is we've only got 4,000 weeks on average on this earth, 4,000 weeks. But yeah, every week we're like, there's another week gone. Well, you've only got 4,000 of them, so you better start using them a bit better.
Wow, and that's a really, really good lead in to now. I mean, and that transition period to what you're doing now, and I could only imagine it's so much more rewarding on a personal level to be able to, essentially what I believe you're doing is giving people back their life and giving them back control of their life. So it's interesting how that leads into to where you're at now. So talk us through a little bit about how, what you do and what that looks like, because it's really fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is so different. It's like you wake up and I just want to jump online straight away, see what messages I have, see how clients are going, see what the day is looking like. So what is the day looking like? So Inner Focus Hypnosis evolved into some online programs, which I call Inner Focus to Recover. And within that, or under that umbrella, I've got two programs at the moment, a 21-day anxiety program and a 30-day sobriety program, which is literally a hold your hand for 30 days step by step. And it's roughly in the 2 weeks preparing and leading up to quitting or moderating, and the 2 weeks following. But it's a lifetime access program and it's self-paced, so people drop in and out where they want within the program. And the reason I've done it that way, where it's in the middle of the program that people actually quit, is so much of it is in the preparation. So instead of day one saying I'm quitting cold turkey, the days 1 to 13 on the program sort of lead people in, explain what it is. Like, the addiction is not a disease. It's a symptom of something deeper. And then from there, explaining what's going on in the body with stress hormones, with the pleasure reward system. And then how to manage urges and cravings, what's actually going on within your mind when all this is happening. And then, because a lot of people, I'm talking about the addiction program, but the anxiety one is very similar. When you're anxious, and most people with any sort of addiction are anxious as well, the rational part of your brain is literally turned off. So you're not making very healthy decisions, if you like, because it's the fight or flight response part of the brain that is panicking about things. So there's several self-hypnosis audios within the program. And the first one calms the mind. It basically gets the mind to a reset. So the rational part of the mind, the prefrontal cortex, lights back up again. And now that can look at it and say, okay, that's probably not really dangerous, or whatever it is that you're panicking about. And then we work through the program with, if there was any psychological trauma, which nearly all of us have some form, it disassociates the emotions from the memory. And only then, after going through those first couple of weeks, then we can work on an actual session, which is about the addiction itself and removing it.
Wow.
And then the following 2 weeks goes into, you know, a lot of people will then have social anxiety because the first time going out and doing something without being drunk or whatever your what would you call it, your drug of choice, I suppose. So yeah, I've got a couple of sessions then that go into self-esteem, confidence. And then the last one is basically believing in yourself, and it's all about your future potential. But within each of them, there's 30 days, and each one have daily tasks, you know, like a to-do list, and you take them off as you go through the program. But they're built in such a way that they all lead up from, okay, I need to quit, or I have to stop this constant ruminating because, you know, it's affecting my sleep. I'm waking up exhausted. all the way through to the end, where they're visualizing this whole new future, and that's what they're focused on. Because most people, for example, with addiction, if you're focusing on the giving up or focusing on what you're missing, that's what the brain, that's how the brain works. You know yourself, if they say, don't think about the pink elephant, everyone thinks about the pink elephant. So if you're focusing on the giving up, you're almost setting yourself up to fail. So you're focusing on the why instead. You're focusing on, you know, your relationship or your family or saving your job or whatever it is that is important to you. So yeah, that's my day to day. It's anxiety, addiction, but it sounds heavy, but when you go back to the getting people to understand the missing emotional needs, and that's all it's really about. Because then all I'm really doing is I'm working with the people on their resources. And the only reason that our resources wouldn't be working is our environment, which leads us back to the unhealthy environment of being away from your family and looking at four walls. Damage to those coping skills. You know, you might have had trauma as a kid. You weren't brought up being taught how to socialize and make friends or whatever the case may be. Or never again goes back to how you were brought up. Knowledge, you don't know about these resources you have. You don't believe in them. You're lacking self-esteem. So all my work is built around those resources and either fixing them, helping people rediscover them, remove the trauma if it's trauma that's affected. But once people start believing in themselves again, and you know, I show them ways of getting each of those needs met, that's where the journey really begins. And relating it back to families and FIFA, what you said earlier about, you know, reevaluate on every roster. I know me personally, the hard part, and this is what I've learned and this is what I try to teach others. And if people listening were to take one thing out of this, it's easier said than done. And I didn't successfully do it, but communicating how that feels when you're away, you know, to your partner or to your family. Same with them, allowing them to communicate. And it's very difficult. I know I used to come home and feel, how would you say, a stranger in your own home. You know, and there's resentment from the partner because they feel like they're paying the bills, they're bringing the kids to school. And in that context, it's very hard to just sit down at the kitchen table and say, okay, we need to talk. And I think where you're going with your program, it's essential that however they do it, whether it's, I would suggest right now, for example, if a partner was listening to this podcast, that they would forward it to their partner and say, have a listen to this, you know, write down your thoughts, what you're thinking. And the next time you're home, let's sit down and work this out.
Absolutely. And I know for myself, when I had those, you know, those thoughts and all those things, and we've spoken about it offline as well. And it's really that interruption of what is happening at that time. It's that interruption of those patterns that you get yourself into. And if you can change that in that moment, then you can actually change the outcome altogether or going down. And, you know, the analogy that we spoke about was going that same way home from work where you go past the bottle shop and you know you're just going to stop in and grab that long neck or those few beers.
Exactly.
Well, why not drive the other way for a change so you don't go past, so the temptation's gone, so you're interrupting that pattern so you can actually change the outcome, and you might just go past the gym or you might just go and do something different, which stops you making that choice of that familiarity. That's a tongue twister for me. But it's really interesting when we talk about that. And everything you touched on inside of that was exactly what I try and share with people also. You know, if you don't have your specific plan, if you're not prepared for the environment that you're going to, if you don't have a structure that works for you, if you don't have a routine that works for you, if you don't implement the very steps to create all that to get the outcome, and then you don't wrap that up with the balance at the home life, it's impossible to get the outcome that you want.
Yeah,
it really absolutely. Is impossible. You have to tie those six key elements, I believe personally, those fundamentals, to create that cohesion between family and work, so everyone's on the same path, on the same journey to achieve what you're sacrificing your life for, essentially, or the period of your life.
And there's a, I'm trying to remember where I first read this formula, but there's a formula called E plus R equals O, which is event plus response equals outcome. And the basic premise is, well, we can't control the event, but we can certainly control our response to the event, and that will dictate our outcome.
Very powerful. Say that one again for everyone.
Event plus response equals outcome. So what I'm saying is, we can't control the event, but we can certainly control our response to the event, which in turn determines our outcome.
Very powerful. And
that's every part of our life. But if you just look at that scenario of the event, okay, you've decided for whatever reason to work away from your family. How you respond to that event, in other words, when you're in that environment, how you respond daily is going to dictate the outcome, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. And, you know, there's, you have to have some thought around that. You have to have some buy-in from not just the wife or the husband, but the kids as well. The kids are living this FIFO experience. And so many people get that two-sided element wrong, I believe. And, you know, as you spoke about, you come home and try and you feel like a stranger in your own home because they've got their routine so intact. You've got your camp routine so down pat, or you think you might have, yet to try and blend them together, that cohesion just isn't there.
It's, and everyone listening will understand, well, certainly the people that are coming home from camp will understand. You're excited going home. You know, you want to see your family. And for those of us that didn't succeed very well, the reality when we got home was nothing like our expectation. You know, so we're walking into, depending on what time you get home, you're walking into, the kids are doing homework like they do every night, but they're doing it without you. You can't just come in and kick a ball around, you know? So you feel like you have to, not you feel like, you do have to fit in into the home environment, and it's easier said than done.
Yeah, you come home wanting that break and going and doing the things you love. And I, you know, one of my key components of what I share is you must be able to have that conversation and that communication to allow you to, when you get home from break, to do, even if it's an hour, it's a day, or it's a few hours, whatever it is, do something that you love as well. And it's not about being selfish. It's about being important, because you need to have that recharge as well. But having that communication that allows your partner to do the same for themselves as well.
That's the hard bit. And I think that's why what you're doing is so important. So people listening, wherever you are on the journey, if you're lucky enough that you're in the early days, you know, and your relationship hasn't been too affected, I would suggest, you know, straight away, you know, buckle down as a family and write it all down, what it is you actually want to achieve out of this. And is it worth it?
There's so many different elements to that whole life thing, from, you know, financial right through to relationships, that if you can create that environment, you can succeed so well and you can really enjoy your experience there. And I look back on my time and some of the best experiences, and there was many, many great experiences. But when I look back and look at the pattern that was happening at the time, you know, when I was happy, when I was doing things well, when I was looking after myself, and all of these things were working for me. And I've been in relationships throughout FIFO, and I've also done it as a single person as well, but coming home to have the kids. But when you can align those basic essential human needs that you speak about, then that thought process is so much clearer, and you can actually enjoy it and create a great outcome for yourself.
Absolutely. And you say it all the time, you need to, you know, have a purpose or a goal. It's literally, if, you know, if I had one tip for people listening, is you really know why you are there, know why you're doing it. And when I say know why you are doing it, it needs to be, again, that needs to be a joint decision. It's because that's where the conflict is. The person that's going to camp, if they know why they're doing it, as in they're enjoying the money or whatever the case may be, but the partner doesn't agree, well, there's always going to be conflict there. And if it is about the money, it's like, okay, what does that mean to you? How much, and what's the timeline? And what's it for? And can you do it differently?
It's so important that from day dot, and, you know, again, as you say, no matter where you are in your journey, you can restart this and you can reassess it, because if it hasn't been working and there is elements of that whole experience that you might be in at present, then stop and reassess, create the conversation, open it up to see where you're at, and have the ability or the courage to step away if that's what you need to do. And you really have to ask yourself those tough questions sometimes. Have the courage to walk away, because what is it worth for you, or what's it going to cost you in the long run? If you can have that open, honest conversation with yourself and your partner, then you'll get to the answer very quickly.
Absolutely. And I think especially, and this is a male ego thing probably, or maybe it's just me, but a lot of us, we either get in a rut or we come up with these excuses like, well, I'm not working for the local wage. Look how much I earn working away. Well, it's more than that. It's like, you know, what's important to you? If you're going to earn half as much at home, but you can survive and be happy differently, you know, you have to look at the bigger picture. If you're working away and doing 60-hour weeks, but your partner is not working because they're doing everything that you should be sharing at home, well, the solution might be going home and doing a 40-hour week while your partner works part-time. You know, these are things as a family unit that you need to really discuss. But I think on a positive note, I don't think we're trying to diss the FIFA lifestyle as such.
Absolutely
It can be wonderful if you know why you're doing it and you have an actual, not just a why, but I think the timeline's important as well.
It's and really set yourself up for that success and, you know, have those specific outcomes, specific goals, specific timeframes. And if you're getting close to them, reassess where you're at. Or if you're not getting close to them, reassess why. And exactly. if you can get that clear picture and you can stay in that control phase of where you're feeling that things are working and you're achieving, then you will go a long way to getting that outcome. It's when you get off track and you recognize that it's not, you need to reassess, because you won't have the success that you deserve for the sacrifices that you're making. And that's what this is all about. It's make the sacrifice worth it for you and for your family, because that's ultimately why you're there.
Exactly.
So Johnny, to wrap it up, where do we find you? You know, if people want to get in touch with you, your services, those sorts of things, because I can see how that could impact so many people, not just in the FIFO life, but in general, you know, it's incredible to think that these sorts of things are out there for people. And some people may have heard of them, but never actually understood what impact it could have in their life. And it could be as simple as, you know, turning your life around in 30 days sounds like fantastic, amazing. And the beauty of that is everyone has the ability to do it. Everyone has the ability to drag themselves out of no matter what place they're at currently in life. And, you know, you hear it all the time. Some of the greatest success stories are some of the saddest stories. And it's to be able to do that. You know, it's whatever works, I believe, is beneficial for anyone.
Yeah. I mean, I had a light bulb moment myself when I started doing personal development, and it is as quick as 30 days. It was a 30-day program I'd done myself. And Where can you find me? I'm on YouTube. That's just Johnny Marr, anxiety and addiction specialist. LinkedIn, the Make It Happen guy. And Facebook, Johnny Marr.
Beautiful. And I'll grab those links and we'll put them into the podcast words and things so people can find us. But, you know, for everyone out there listening, we appreciate you sticking around and listening to what can be such a successful journey for you and your family. And, you know, if any of this relates, I really do encourage you to share this with someone that may need to hear it today, because it's all about getting people information and different ways and different perspectives of how to look at things. And, you know, if all that relates, you can certainly go a long way to turning someone's life around just by sharing information. So if you've got any value out of this, I really do appreciate, sharing the podcast and staying tuned. You can also find me online at paul@freedominfindingourselves, and really looking forward to, really just staying in touch with everyone and seeing people succeed in that lifestyle. So thanks, guys, and we'll talk to you on the next podcast. I look forward to seeing you soon. Well, you've just been listening to another episode of the Surviving FIFO podcast and Making the Sacrifice a Success. I trust you've got value from this today. And if you did, I'd appreciate you sharing this with someone that needs to hear it. By sharing these episodes, we might be reaching people that need to hear the message inside each and every single person's story. I'd love you to come over to Facebook and follow me on Successful FIFO Families. Also on LinkedIn, Paul Smith, the FIFO Coach, and on Instagram, @TheFIFOCoach. If you'd like to reach out and contact me in regards to one-on-one coaching, group coaching, or company workshops, please get in touch via the email paul@freedominfindingourselves.com. I look forward to hearing from you and sharing more and more episodes along the way. Stay safe. Take care.